You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. Dan Patrick listeners, thank you.
Thanks again to everybody who supported us on YouTube.
Thank you for following us to YouTube. But now, you need to follow us to Peacock.
More people are able to get Peacock. It's free.
We're firmly in bed with Peacock.
And I'll see you boys over there.
Download the app and watch the show anytime, anywhere, on your schedule.
Dan Patrick.
Welcome to the Dan Patrick Show.
Acknowledge him.
Bringing you the biggest guests and best interviews.
Someday we're going to look back on this season in the NBA and realize just how special this was.
I totally disagree.
That seems unlikely.
Glaring asterisk.
In a softest putty league. There's nobody in his way.
That gets tiring.
So annoying.
Let us enjoy it, please.
I think this day and age, people don't like to say anything about great athletes. And I think LeBron is the only great athlete that they say bad things about, and I hate it for him.
It's coming.
To some people of certain ages, there's nothing he can do.
He can't win.
Broadcasting from the Mercedes Man Cave.
I still love watching LeBron play.
This is Dan Patrick.
It's hour two on this Monday. Dan and the Danettes. Dan Patrick Show down at Danette. Seton is off today, but Fritzy's here. McLovin, Paulie, and of course, you're truly. Boys in the back room as well. Tyler is moderating chat row. Say good morning to those listening around the country. And now 376 radio affiliates in America. Fox Sports 1330 AM, Juneau, Alaska is the latest edition, and we have a Juneau, Alaska quiz. Paulie, do you have a sampling there?
I've got a lot. I did a deep dive on Juneau restaurants, nightlife, everything. I'm going to start out easy, Dan. Did you know who can go closest to the hole population of Juneau, Alaska? Dan, you want to go first or last?
I'm going to go last. McLovin, you go first.
185,000.
All right. Fritzy?
263,000.
All right. I'm going to go 102,417.
Dan, you nailed it. Now, there was a couple of babies born last week, but so you might be off. No, 32,000 people. It's a lovely place.
Oh.
Just 32,000 people in Juneau.
Well, we're glad to be part of their lives.
Well, here's one for you.
Okay.
This is just a hypothetical. Which town in America has the most coffee shops per capita? If you had to pick any town in America, most coffee shops per capita.
Now, you would think someplace like Seattle would.
Right.
I'm going to go Juneau, Alaska.
You are correct, Dan. Oh, Juneau, Alaska. 34 coffee shops, 32,000 people. The coffee hotbed. More to come.
All righty. Best and worst of the weekend, as we always do. What you saw that you liked, you didn't like. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle to dpshow. LeBron wins his fourth finals MVP. The Lakers with the win, closing out the Heat in six. And tonight, Chargers-Saints. The Saints without Michael Thomas. Tomorrow night, at least we hope, Bills and the Titans. Cowboys lose Dak Prescott. Seattle Seahawks first to 5-0. The Falcons fired everyone. Sometimes we get comfortable watching NFL football and we forget about the brutality of the sport. But I'm sure you were amongst the millions watching the Cowboys-Giants game on Sunday, and it served as a reminder when Dak Prescott got hurt. The Dallas QB took off on a run that he's made so many times before. The defender landed on his leg awkwardly, and the result was a compound fracture, dislocation of his right ankle. Underwent surgery last night, and if you followed Prescott through the years, you know that he's faced a lot of adversity. Lost his mother while he was at Mississippi State. An older brother committed suicide earlier this year. And we spent way too much in the offseason, way too much time discussing his contract. The Cowboys declined to give him a long-term deal. And now we know why players hold out, because there are no guarantees. Football careers can change just like that. And hopefully he gets a chance to reclaim his starting spot. He's a talented player. He's got the respect of teammates and opponents around the league. He's a very special person. And hopefully he gets that opportunity to come back and play. Here's Mike McCarthy, the Cowboys head coach, talking about Dak's injury.
I feel terrible for him. He was having a tremendous year, just, you know, in my short time working with him. He's made such an impression on me, and he's, you know, clearly the leader of this football team. And I have no doubt that he'll bounce back from this, and you know this will be all part of his great story. This will just be another chapter in a great story. He's a fine young man and an outstanding quarterback.
Dak has never missed a start. He's been the starting quarterback for the Cowboys for all 69 regular season games since they drafted him. And he had a TD reception yesterday. Last time that happened with the Dallas quarterback, 1985, Danny White caught one. But now you get Andy Dalton. They signed Andy Dalton, one of those oh by the ways back in May. And I think people at the time thought, well, what's the strategy here with Jerry Jones? So they saying to Dak Prescott, hey, if you don't want to sign, we have somebody who has been a Pro Bowl player and gone to the playoffs with the Bengals, and he is, you know, from the area, and he would be the guy that we can put in there, not worry about. Dalton, 3 for 4, 72 yards, and, you know, when he came in after Dak got hurt, and he is a good quarterback. I mean, this is why you spent money. They spent $3 million for a backup quarterback, and that's a high-end backup quarterback. But now he's going to be your starting quarterback as you move forward. You also had Alex Smith. Alex Smith, who nearly lost his life and then nearly lost his leg due to an injury. And he came back after they made Dwayne Haskins inactive. And Alex Smith came in, first pass completed. Then he gave a piggyback ride to Aaron Donald that made me nervous. That's one of those that I probably would have done better not watching it in real time and then watching the highlights, because I mean, I was nervous watching that. And his wife and three kids are there. They gave him a standing ovation. You know, of course, there's limited, you know, fans there, but gave him a standing ovation. I can't imagine what his wife must have thought. You know, because the kids, you know, they're just seeing dad out there on the football field. Mom knows this was really, really, really bad. But he got out there and, you know, showed that he could play. But you got to get Kyle Allen back in there. Alex Smith should not be on the football field right now. I'm sure he got medical clearance, but, you know, what's that say about Dwayne Haskins? I don't know if they want Alex Smith to be their starter, but, I mean, if he's ready to go, great. But, man, it's been a long 2 years for him to be able to come back to this point. Yeah, McLevin.
Would you trade for Dwayne Haskins if the Washington football team says he's available?
But what do you're going to give up, a fifth-round pick for Dwayne Haskins?
Yeah, if that.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, would I rather have Josh Rosen than Dwayne Haskins? Probably so. I saw where there are reports, you know, the Jets are looking into what's the worst case scenario. You know, they're 0-5, and they're going to be on the clock for Trevor Lawrence, or if they don't, you know, leave it to the Jets, they'll screw that up. They'll win a game they shouldn't win, and, you know, maybe they end up with Justin Fields. You're not going to get a first-round pick for Sam Darnold if you want to trade him. Because that's something else to keep an eye on, what the Jets do with Sam Darnold. Because it feels like they're moving on. You know, look at Atlanta with Matt Ryan. Like, what do you do with Matt Ryan for a team that's not any good? He's very expensive. I mean, this team should not be winless. Julio Jones didn't play, but you should not be winless. But I give, you know, Carolina beat you. And, you know, give credit to Carolina. But Atlanta, you know, it felt like there was very little motivation there to have Dan Quinn keep his job. And now what do you do? Like, there's going to be a couple of quarterbacks that I think you need to watch in the offseason. Matthew Stafford is somebody that I would keep an eye on. Because that might be where you bring in a veteran quarterback. Matt Ryan might be the other, you know, solution for somebody. Sam Darnold might be, you know, somebody who gets a chance to start over here. There's going to be some quarterbacks who are going to be available here. You know, the Colts are not satisfied with Phillip Rivers, and they shouldn't be. Your ceiling is your quarterback. That's the way I view this. So when you say, boy, how good can a team be? I always look at what's my quarterback like? How good's my quarterback? Because if your quarterback is not, you know, good, bordering on great, or consistent, then that's your ceiling. And you're only going to go as far as that quarterback goes. And, you know, there's some curiosity that I have. Like Ben Roethlisberger, I said if he plays at a high level, this is a team to keep an eye on. They're a playoff team. And I still think that they are. You know, the Cleveland Browns, I look at Baker Mayfield. You're as good as Baker Mayfield is. Now, it shouldn't be solely based on that, but I need to know that the quarterback can do something when you need a quarterback to do something. Like, you know, last night, Russell Wilson was going to lose that game. And then He ended up winning that game with the touchdown pass. He threw an interception in the fourth quarter. I need to know what you can do when I have to have you perform. And there are certain quarterbacks where you just can't rely on him. That's why your ceiling is your quarterback. And if I'm Atlanta, why am I keeping Matt Ryan? But I don't know who's going to, you know, say, I'm going to take him at that price. Who's going to take Matthew Stafford and at that price? Not what you give up in return as far as the draft pick goes. You got to pay him. And salary cap issues in there. But, you know, it was an interesting day in the NFL. And then you've got the Chargers-Saints tonight without Michael Thomas, who was suspended for a game for a fight with one of his teammates. And I guess we're going to have the Bills and Titans tomorrow. Don't we usually have the testing on Tuesday? The results come out on Tuesday? And I don't know how the Titans are getting ready for this game, because they were getting ready for Pittsburgh, and then that was postponed. Now you get ready for Buffalo, and these are two undefeated teams. Like, this is a big matchup here. Jets, Giants are both 0-5. That's the first time in their franchise's history that you've had both 0-5 in the same year. Congratulations. I will say this for the Giants. They did play hard. Like, that was a really competitive game in Dallas. But once again, do you know what you have in Daniel Jones? And I'd say, no, you don't. The Jets, do you know what you have in Sam Darnold? And I'd say, no, you don't. You see glimpses, but you have to have consistency there. Washington, with what's going on with Dwayne Haskins. I mean, Alex Smith is not their future. Kyle Allen is not their future. Dwayne Haskins is not their future. They're going to be interested in a quarterback as well. All right, phone calls are always welcome. Best and worst of the weekend, what you saw that you liked, you didn't like. We'll check in with the Dallas Cowboys coming up. We'll talk some college football as well. But once again, congratulations to the Lakers winning the NBA title. I got on my soapbox and was talking about LeBron James and appreciate him. And then I realized I'm not going to convince you. I mean, if you listen to me and you respect what I say and my opinions, I hope it seeps in, maybe by proxy. But if you have a favorite band, I can't convince you that that shouldn't be your favorite band. If you're a Michael Jordan guy, you're not going to even acknowledge LeBron is in that select group. If you love Kareem or Matt, whoever it is, you're not going to change. And I understand that. But if I can at least open my eyes to this, having covered this sport for, 35, 36 years now, I was Michael Jordan. I understood it. He's the greatest player of all time. I just think we're missing out on what LeBron James has done. He's played 260 playoff games. He doesn't miss games. He plays. He was the best player on the floor last night at 35. I saw where people pointed out Jimmy Butler was just too tired. I think he's 4 years younger with far less games than LeBron James. Hey, LeBron got that break. These are all the haters. Hey, LeBron, man, you know, in March, they shut down the sport. LeBron got 4 months of rest. Was he the only guy who got rest? I'm guessing everybody else in the NBA got the same amount of time off there. But LeBron last night did what you would want LeBron to do. He stepped up, and that's why he's the finals MVP. And rightfully so. So much credit to the Miami Heat. You know, just... I was impressed every time I saw them play because they listened to Jimmy Butler. They played hard. When your star player is out there giving it everything and you're a role player, you have no excuses whatsoever. And I thought Eric Spoelstra, who I firmly believe is a future Hall of Fame coach, what they did, how they did it, they're going to have some salary cap space, and that will probably be the one destination that will stand out above all the other ones. If the Greek freak is leaving, what just happened there?
Let me clear my throat.
Yeah. What happened there?
I don't know.
Wow. It's like and then I thought I was the only one who heard it. Yes, McLovin. Was that you?
That wasn't me, actually.
It
could have easily been me, but no, that wasn't me.
Okay. A couple of surprises yesterday. The Raiders roughing up Kansas City, and I was surprised. I think I caught your attention, some people, when I said, this first time I've seen Mahomes rattled in a long time. Here's Patrick Mahomes after the loss to the Raiders.
we just didn't execute at a high enough level. In the first half, we started off well. We executed at a high level. Obviously, we had some penalties, called some stuff back. And then in the second quarter, we kind of made plays happen, but we weren't executing at a high enough at a high level. And then the third quarter, we couldn't execute because we weren't running the plays the right way, and I wasn't finding the right reads. And so that carried over, and we obviously didn't play in the second half like we wanted to.
Yeah, and I go back to that Patriots game because I do believe if Cam Newton had played in that game, the Patriots would have beaten the Chiefs. I think they had a great game plan there defensively against him. And it's running, controlling the clock, but the Raiders were the better team. And that was surprising. All right, we'll have our best and worst of the weekend. A couple of phone calls here before we take a break and check in with Ed Werder, who covers the Cowboys. Barry in New York. Hi, Barry. What's on your mind today?
Good morning, Dan. And hello to my 1% brother from another Jewish mother.
All right.
two bests and a worst. Right. Oh, by the way, glad to have you as part of the Mishpucha. Right. First best, the Yankees lose. Number two, my Jets were cleared to play despite COVID fears. Worst of the weekend, my Jets were cleared to play due to COVID fears.
Right. Thank you, Barry. I was watching the Rays last night. I mean, there's really no announcement that baseball is happening. I saw on the bottom line, it was like they were down 1-0 to the Astros. And I go, I got to check out my Rays and see how they're doing. I flip over, and Randy Ring Around the Rose Arena hit another home run for my Tampa Bay Rays. And I went, yeah, I like it. Yeah, McLovin.
Do you think Rob Manfred should have stepped in and just given the series to the Yankees? Because I know you guys think the Astros Dodgers would be good. It would. But I don't know.
You just can't do that. Even during a pandemic.
Yeah.
You can't. I can't. You know, the commissioner has certain powers, but I don't think he can go, you know, as the commissioner, I hereby announce that the Yankees are going to the World Series here.
Didn't David Stern do that to get the Lakers into the finals a couple times?
Wow. You got Dodgers Braves starting today. Yeah, it was good. It was fun watching a little bit. It's just crazy now. You know, I was watching golf, football, and then getting ready for basketball, and then baseball was on. And I just said to my wife, I said, I'm in lockdown mode. And she goes, well, what's on? I go, everything. It was basically that. I just said, I'm going to be downstairs. I had my cigar. I had an Opus X Fuente, for those who love cigars. So an Opus X, and then I had a little tequila on the rocks, and I was good to go.
Who's got it better than you?
Nobody. Nobody. I'm sitting there. Nobody's bothering me, and I just got to sit there and just chill. Yes, Todd.
Among the baseball, basketball, and football that were going on simultaneously last night, can you leave it on one channel for any length of time when it goes to a commercial, or do you feel compelled immediately to go to one of the other live?
Oh, I'm not going to sit during a commercial.
So you're constantly flipping. As soon as one goes to break, you go into the next one.
Wait, why would I sit through a commercial?
I'm just wondering, you know, some people just, you know, with laziness or maybe the remote, they forgot to pick it up because they left it across the way on the couch and they don't want to get up and get it. They're like, I'll just sit through it. I'm into this game and I'll...
Wait, do you do that?
Usually I do not, but I got to the point because I was watching with my wife and she's like, you know, she felt like I was having some kind of problem where I couldn't just keep it on one thing, even though she knew multiple games were going on. Why the second it goes to a commercial, I have to go to one of the other games because I might miss one pitch of the baseball or one pass by Russell Wilson or something.
Yeah. Well, why aren't you watching it on your own?
Because I like to watch with her. She does like sports, I guess, not to the extent that I do, because she found it very unsettling. She also doesn't understand with the red zone how you could watch games that way instead of not picking one game and sticking with that and constantly getting updates every 5 seconds.
I don't want to be loyal to, like, ABC and say, I'm going to sit through this commercial because I'm loyal to Mike Breen and the guys covering the finals. It's like, I'm out of there. Yeah, I want them to give me like a 5 second countdown so I can get over to, you know, the next channel. Yes, Paulie.
I love my wife more than everything, but not in October. I don't. I mean, she's got a vision. It's a balanced product there.
You got to know your place.
It's October.
Yeah. Yes, McLovin.
I do love radio commercials, though. I sit through all those.
Yes. Well said, McLovin.
My wife complains about the same thing, the constant flipping. But when the Lakers went up by 32, that gave you an opportunity to peek on football, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are opportunities where you go, okay, this game's a little out of reach here. Let me go over here and watch a little bit more of that. you know, but watching last night where you're just back and forth. I had baseball, football, and basketball on at the same time. And I was just back and forth with that, breezing right through. And then Russell Wilson in the last 15 seconds throws the game-winning touchdown. The Rays hold on 2-1. And then I wanted to see the post-game celebration with LeBron and company. All right, we'll take a break here. More phone calls, best and worst of the weekend. We'll give you ours coming up a little bit later on. But up next, we'll check in with the great Cowboy reporter, Ed Werder, on Dak Prescott and the Cowboys moving forward. 20 after the hour here on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Couldn't help but think of the Dodgers last night when I'm watching LeBron and the Lakers celebrate. Boy, there's a whole lot of pressure on the Dodgers now. As if there wasn't already a whole lot of pressure on the Dodgers going into their series with the Atlanta Braves. The Rays took game one of their series against the Houston Astros. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Let's bring in the ESPN NFL reporter, Ed Werder, and his 23rd years ESPN NFL reporter, covering the Cowboys since 1989. What's the mood in the Cowboys building now, Ed?
Well, Dan, we're not exactly allowed in the locker rooms after games anymore, so that becomes a more difficult question to answer. But I think you saw in some of the in just the on the field interaction between Dak Prescott, he was just, you know, being carted off, and then what the players said in the locker room about losing their unrivaled leader. I mean, the thing that strikes me about Dak Prescott beyond his incredible evolution as a, you know, a passing quarterback in the NFL, when there were great questions about his ability to do that when they were drafted him in the fourth round. I remember back to 2016, and I walked into the Cowboys locker room before their season opener against the Giants that year, Dak's rookie year. They'd lost Tony Romo, if you recall, in a preseason. And I walked up to Jason Witten, who is as good a friend as Tony Romo's ever had in football. And I said, hey, last year you guys went 1-11 without Romo in the lineup. Why is this year going to be any different? And he said, you know what? We panicked last year when we didn't have Tony. That won't happen this year. And a lot of the reason for that, and the confidence I have, is that guy over there, number four. And this is just, we have a lot of confidence in him. He's handled every situation perfectly. That's just who he is. And so that's what they lose beyond the playmaker on the field.
What exactly is the injury?
It was an open fracture and a dislocated ankle. Whether there were ligaments damaged beyond that, we don't know. We do know that he was rushed to the hospital from the field last night. And underwent surgery by Dr. Gene Curry because he had the open fracture, and they want to eliminate the potential for an infection as soon as possible. They also repaired the dislocation. This is probably, from everything I understand, a 4 to 6 month recovery process. But people familiar with this injury who are medical experts believe that Dak Prescott will get back to being the same player that he was before suffering this injury. And in fact, the Cowboys announced this morning they're expecting him to be released from the hospital today.
And by an open fracture, this broke the skin. So the
correct.
Okay. The bone came
out.
And
we all saw what happened, you know, with Alex Smith when he suffered his gruesome leg injury, and the fact that he played on a grass field, that it was rainy. There was, you know, bacteria in the water that got into the wound that created all sorts of complications that jeopardized his leg and his life. And hopefully playing on an artificial surface in a much cleaner environment, benefits Dak Prescott, and that doesn't become an issue. But that is the first concern in a situation like this.
Why the vitriol towards Jerry Jones following the injury? Twitter was on fire with being angry at Jerry Jones because of the contract situation.
Right. Well, you know, Dak Prescott is the third different quarterback ever to play on the franchise tag. Drew Brees did it once, and Kirk Cousins did it twice. And both of those players were able to make all 16 starts in the year that they played on the tag. So Dak's unique in the fact that he only lasted five before suffering a season-ending injury. And so I think there's this sense that, hey, you got first-round production out of a quarterback you drafted in the fourth round, and you weren't fair to him. And the reality, I think, is somewhere in between. You know, ultimately, in July when it came right down to it, Dan, and it's the deadline for either signing a multi-year deal or not, Dak made the choice. The Cowboys had a lot of money on the table. Obviously, it wasn't enough in Dak's mind. You know, they wanted a long-term deal. He wanted a four-year deal because he felt like other quarterbacks, that's what they had gotten on their extensions. The Cowboys' philosophy is to sign players for longer term so they can spread the cap impact early in the deal. And it didn't get done. And so when the player gets hurt in a situation like this, I think everybody has great sympathy for him and not the billionaire owner who didn't get the deal done. And it's really, I mean, the criticism is fair from the standpoint of, you know, the Cowboys have always gotten their quarterback deals done. Like Troy Aikman was never put in this position. Tony Romo was never put in this position. But, you know, Dak made decisions along the way that contributed to that. And they did offer an awful lot of money. It's not like they weren't willing to make him one of the highest paid quarterbacks in football. But this was the risk he assumed, unfortunately.
What is the business side of Dak Prescott moving forward?
Well, it creates a lot of unknowns for the very facts that I described, that we've never been in a situation like this. Although, you know, thinking back on 2006, when Drew Brees played on the franchise tag, he was in a worse situation. You know, the Chargers already had Phillip Rivers on their roster. He was Drew was franchise tag and suffered a career-threatening shoulder injury on the final week of the season. So he had a more serious injury than Dak and less time to recover before, you know, any team, whether it was the Chargers or the Dolphins or ultimately the Saints, would sign him to a deal. So Dak has more time than that. Whether both sides decide that, hey, given all the unknowns coming off an injury of this magnitude and the fact that they're probably not going to see him play a game, almost certainly not going to see him play a game before those decisions are made, it wouldn't surprise me if he winds up playing another year on another franchise tag.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And then you'll go back to May when the Cowboys brought in Andy Dalton. Was kind of a sneaky under the radar, you know, we're bringing him in, $3 million backup. What was your original thought when you saw that?
Well, it's not something that the Cowboys have always done, quite honestly. In fact, it's unusual for the Cowboys to sign an experienced backup quarterback like Andy Dalton. And I remember the day that they did, I reached out to one of the Cowboys' assistant coaches, Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator, and asked his reaction. He said, we just provided ourselves the best backup quarterback situation in the entire league. You know, Andy Dalton proved yesterday what he's capable of, coming off the bench for just the second time in his career. 25th career victory in the fourth quarter. I mean, that's going to carry a lot of momentum going forward with his new teammates. This is a guy who's won 70 games as a starter. He's played been in the playoffs four times, hadn't won a game in the playoffs, but he's gotten the Bengals there many times and four times started their first postseason game himself. So they have as much faith in him as they could possibly have in any quarterback replacing Dak Prescott. But it's going to require a lot of adjustment on the part of Mike McCarthy offensively.
And even with the Dak Prescott injury, the state of the NFC East is the Cowboys. Are the Cowboys a playoff team, Ed?
Well, they might have to be.
They got to send somebody from the NFC East, right?
They've won two games, which is double the number that anybody else in the division has won, as unimpressive as they've been. And certainly, you know, they're going to be challenged going forward. They've beaten two winless teams. They beat the Falcons. And they beat the Giants. And I think
barely.
They took over first place yesterday. I think the thing that was confirmed yesterday is the Cowboys defense is really horrible. They gave up 34 points to a Giants team that had scored a total of, what, 47 the whole year?
Yeah.
So, and obviously they're without both their starting offensive tackles for the rest of the year. They started a rookie center yesterday because of the injury to Joe Looney. So they're compromised on the offensive line. They do still have a fantastic running back, a two-time NFL rushing champion, and they do have three of the best receivers in football. So the thing is, I think they've got to start playing a cleaner game. They've got to be more balanced on offense. They certainly can't turn the football over like they have been. The defense should start to get some players back, Dan, in the next few weeks, including maybe Leighton Vander Esch this week, which could make a significant difference. But they've been outscored off turnovers 60-10. Wow. Including getting outscored yesterday 14-7 by the Giants. So that can't continue if they're going to have any success playing a backup quarterback.
Great to talk to you as always, Ed. Thank you for your time.
Thanks for the invite, Dan.
Thank you, buddy. That's Ed Werder, ESPN NFL reporter, and he's been covering the Cowboys since 1989. Best and worst of the weekend. Seton's not here today. So, Fritzy, I'll start with you. Best and worst of the weekend.
Best and worst of the weekend. I'm going to go to Connor Bazelak, who led Missouri to a 45-41 win over LSU. 29 of 34, 406 yards, 4 TDs, no picks. LSU falls to 1-2. Mizzou also had a big goal line stand in that game at the end. Worst, in a 38-24 loss, my Syracuse Orange give up 363 rushing yards at home to Duke. 169 by Deion Jackson, 163 by the Blue Devils' Mateo Durant. Embarrassing.
Thank you, Todd. McLevin?
Best. I mean, I think I have to go Andy Dalton, my guy, coming in tough
situation. Yeah, there he is. There
you know,
is.
I feel bad for Dak. By the way, we haven't talked about Dak with the greatest guest move ever, the self-handshake. That's when you went to, such a good dude.
When we had him in our New York studio, and we were throwing footballs outside, and he put his hand out because I was thanking him, and I turned at the same time that he was, you know, had his hand out. I was throwing a commercial break, and he did the self-handshake where he shook his own hand there. What else, McLovin?
My worst, I'm going to go Ty. I was disappointed in Philip Rivers' play yesterday and Kirk Cousins' play last night. Those guys are... seem to be holding their teams back right now.
Well, Philip Rivers is going to. You know, Kirk Cousins doesn't have the excuse of he's older or that he doesn't have arm strength. They're a running team, and they had a great game plan in Dalvin Cook. They really did. They had the game plan, and they were enforcing it. But Philip Rivers, that's your ceiling. That Colts defense is good. I mean, the Colts should be good. The Colts should be a 10-win team. I just, you know, I get concerned about Philip Rivers, you know, in a big-time moment. Is he able to make those plays? Yeah, McLevin.
Is it the same with the Bears where you say, wow, what if Cam Newton was on that team? Or are we going to do that to every team that is a little disappointing?
Well, I look at the Colts, and as I told you, that the Colts were going to draft Jordan Love. And if you get Philip Rivers and you were going to have him for 1 year, then you were going to be pushing Jordan. This is what I was told prior to the draft, that, you know, Green Bay went and got Jordan Love. They really wanted him, but I think they realized that the Colts wanted him as well, and they might have gone up to get him. Now, I only have one source on that, but they were going to take Jordan Love because they knew that this was just a Band-Aid, Philip Rivers coming in and knew the system. And did you have enough running backs there, which they do have good running backs, and that defense? And then you're not asking Philip Rivers to put up 5,000 yards. But I think they're going to miss an opportunity here, you know, with that talent. And I don't know if Philip Rivers can, you know, match that talent as well. What else, McLovin?
That's my best and worst.
Paulie?
Worst of the weekend, Arkansas Razorbacks winning 28-27 late in the game against Auburn. Auburn's getting ready to spike the ball. Bo Nix kind of loses that as he spikes it, and Bo Nix grabbed the ball, the Auburn quarterback, and spikes it. It looked like backwards. Should have been a fumble. Ball should have gone back a bunch of yards and maybe been recovered by Arkansas. Arkansas would be 2-1 in the SEC, and they haven't been 2-1 in a while. Auburn wins the game. Bad call by the refs, and they reviewed it and still called it that way. Best of the weekend, North Carolina football, 56-45. Virginia Tech's got some issues this year, a lot of players being out, but... luckily for me, Sam Howell, the quarterback at UNC, is only a sophomore, so the Bears can't draft him after four or five good games.
Derek in New York, best and worst of the weekend. Hi, Derek. What do you have for me?
Hey, Dan. 5'10", 200 pounds. Being around a Yankee hotbed here in Schenectady, New York, I get real tired of the Yankees, and the reason I can't stand them, the best of my weekend was having them eliminated. Now, Dan, you're 2 years older than me, so you have an elongated sense of history. I don't hate the Yankees because they win. To me, there's so much inequity in it, and I get tired of their arrogance over time. There was no draft, Dan, in baseball until 1965. That meant anybody the Yankees want, they could get. And New York City is the capital of civilization. It's like an actor doesn't go to Omaha, Nebraska. He goes to Hollywood. So the Yankees got everybody they wanted. And then the draft came in 65. Steinbrenner came along in 73. So the only time in baseball history where there was a level playing field, true level playing field, with the Yankees and all the other teams concerned, was that period. What did the Yankees do from 65 to 73? They didn't do anything. And now what you have is you have all the big markets with the money, and I get that. You know, the Mets have money, the Cubs have money, the Dodgers have money, the Red Sox have money. But the NFL is a model of equity. You know, every team has the same amount of money. Wellington Mara of the Giants of all teams, made sure that there was going to be equity in the NFL. So I don't hate the Yankees because they win. I don't hate Mickey Mantle or Yogi Berra or any of that. But I get tired of the arrogance of their fans because they had everything their way, Dan. You know, what team is the direct opposite in sports? The direct opposite in sports of the New York Yankees?
The Rays.
No, the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, I thought you were staying in baseball.
No, but in all of sports. But I just get – I'm not against winning, Dan, but you guys are into history, all of you guys. I love listening to you. And you know, when Yankee fans hear this, they don't even think about it. They're like, oh, geez, I understand why you can't stand them now. Yeah, you've had your way all the time. Remember all those venerable teams from your early 70s? You had the Reds, who you loved, and you had the Pirates, and you had the Kansas City Royals, you had the A's. You had all these teams that could compete, you know, and it's like – now they can compete for what, once or twice a year? So when Tampa Bay beat the Yankees, I was happy as hell. My girlfriend's mother couldn't stand sports, and she starts dating a guy who's garden variety Yankee fan, and now every time I walk in a freaking house, the Yankee game is on. I was so glad they're out of it.
Thank you, Derek. Let it go. Let it go. Free your mind. The rest will follow. I remember getting into these discussions with Yankee fans. And I grew up a Reds fan. I don't root anymore. I mean, I was lucky to have the big red machine there. But they would always bring up the following. You know, Jeter and Bernie and Posada. They'd always say, yeah, we drafted them. You know, we drafted them. We didn't sign those guys, big free agent deals. And I said, but you, after you drafted them, they played well. You were able to keep them because you had the money. You did draft them, but when they got that next contract, everybody stayed. That's the difference. All of these teams, how many teams, they, you know, it's like you're raising your children and then you send them off to college and then they never come back. I mean, Tampa Bay, look at all these smaller markets where they have good players and then all of a sudden you go, wait, how did that guy used to be on that team? Yes, because they couldn't afford him. The Yankees were always able to afford those players. They kept everybody they wanted. They went all in on Gerrit Cole. They still think Aroldis Chapman's a big-time closer. You spent all that money on that lineup. You got a softball team there, and they were playing the percentages of we've got an ace in a 7-game series or a 5-game series that we get to use at least twice, and we're going to hit a ton of home runs. Well, they ran into a Tampa team that was better than them. And in the offseason, the Yankees will probably go after another big-time, you know, free agent pitcher. You got to have guys who strike out a lot of guys, and you got to have guys who hit home runs. That's baseball now. And the Yankees had the home run guys. They just didn't have the consistent pitching. Because once Gerrit Cole was done, it was like, who do we got? Jay Happ? Tanaka? Yes, Paulie.
This season, the Yankees are number one in payroll. The Tampa Bay Rays are 27.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. More phone calls coming up, best and worst of the weekend. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Just got word that Joe Morgan has passed away at the age of 77. Tom Seaver, Bob Gibson, Lou Brock, Whitey Ford, now Joe Morgan, all in the past year. Past 6 months here, all Hall of Famers there. And he was part of the big red machine. He was a second baseman. He was a gold glove winner. He could steal bases, but he could also hit home runs. Great on-base percentage. I think 1 year led the league in on-base percentage and slugging percentage as a second baseman. And back then, you didn't have, it wasn't normal when your second baseman was hitting, you know, 25 to 30 home runs. That just didn't happen. But he was, you know, gold glove winner, and he was a great base stealer. But he also came to Cincinnati and provided power to a team that already had power. So Joe Morgan at the age of 77. And you had, I mean, these are all in my wheelhouse. Whitey Ford, I'm not old enough to have remembered Whitey's greatness. But Tom Seaver, definitely. Bob Gibson, Lou Brock. And certainly Joe Morgan. But that's all within the last, you know, 5 or 6 months that those men have passed away. Yeah, Paul.
That stat you mentioned, I never even saw that before. 1976, Joe Morgan, 27, again, at second base, not a huge guy. 27 homers, 111 RBI, 60 stolen bases, rarely got caught. He hit 320. His on-base percentage was .444. His slugging was .576. Both led the league. That's like a perfect season for a second baseman.
Yeah, and this was he won back-to-back MVPs, and they won back-to-back World Series, and he was part of, you know, what I think is the greatest National League lineup in history, because you can say you got a Hall of Famer at just about every position. You know, Pete's not going into the Hall of Fame, but everybody knows he is a Hall of Famer. Tony Perez, Joe Morgan, Davey Concepcion, to me, revolutionized shortstop play. Johnny Bench, Cesar Geronimo in center, Ken Griffey Sr. You had George Foster, who was in left field. I mean, it was a spectacular lineup there. But Joe Morgan has passed away at the age of 77. A couple more phone calls in here. Brian in Tampa joining us. Hey, Brian, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan, I just want to say condolences for Joe Morgan. I know that big red machine, I grew up watching those guys, too. They were really something to deal with. But I wanted to talk with you. This is only my second time calling the Grand Master here. And a couple weeks ago, you definitely were poking fun of me when I explained or was trying to talk about Jared Goff being overlooked and kind of under the radar, and you were giving everybody else in the world praise. I'd like to see if you would be willing to apologize to me nationally for underestimating how good Jared Goff has been this year.
I apologize for underestimating Jared Goff and the LA Rams, Brian.
Thank you, Dan.
Okay,
I appreciate
good.
It.
I hope you weren't holding on to that for a long time, but thank you, Brian. Thank you for calling in. And look, I should be held accountable here. Maybe I misjudged the Rams here. I don't know if they played a great lineup here so far that we get a true indication of how good they are. I know that they have two great defensive players, and I have said your quarterback is your ceiling. If Jared Goff is playing great, they're a better team without Todd Gurley. Yes, Paulie.
You just apologized for the Rams beat Washington this weekend. They didn't win the Super Bowl unless I missed something.
Paulie, it's Brian. He lives in Tampa.
Oh,
he needs. You know, I got to help him out a little bit here.
So it was a faux apology?
No. It was a legitimate apology.
All right.
I just didn't know that Brian was harboring this. But if the Rams make the playoffs, then you know I'll be surprised. But it's not like I don't like the Rams. It just and I like Jared Goff.
I just don't like the Panthers. two different team apologies all in the same within a half hour of each other.
I don't know everything. I have no problem apologizing or admitting I'm wrong. It doesn't happen often, but when it does, then why not? Yes, McLovin.
You're not going to apologize for the Bears being 4-1.
No, I won't apologize.
Okay, there's a line then.
Paulie didn't think they were going to be good.
I still don't.
Yeah, I don't know what they are. You know, it's like. Like, you have these teams and you go, I don't know what they're going to be like in a month. There's a couple of those. You just go, I don't know if they're any good. Or I don't know if they're this bad. Like, the Steelers are undefeated. Do they feel undefeated? Probably not. Nobody patted me on the back and said, hey, didn't you say that that's the most intriguing team this season for you? Yes, it is. Because of Ben. And if he plays well, they're a playoff team. I have the Browns as a playoff team. Wait, now see, I'm asking for respect. And I just told LeBron, don't be asking for respect because you're not going to get it. And if you get it, it's begrudgingly. So, you know, you make a couple of mistakes and that's all right. Nothing wrong with admitting it. Yes, Todd.
I like that you took the high road because on some of these shows, they're screaming and yelling and they're antagonistic and it gets very uncomfortable with the callers.
Yeah.
It's the way to go.
It's okay. Look, I'm in it with my audience. It's Monday. Got a long week. Make a mistake, nothing wrong with admitting it. Unlike Tom Brady, I can admit when I make a mistake.
Oh, a little shot right before the end of the hour.
Take a break here. Final hour coming up, more phone calls. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show.